Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Notice verse 7 and 8. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that as we take really a very pointed subject, very specific subject, and probably a little bit, Lord, more of a narrowly targeted audience, although I believe, Lord, that most of us in here can benefit from the principles, and Lord, they certainly have a wide range of application. But I do pray, Lord, as I talk to the young people tonight, and Lord, that you would help them to give the preacher a good hearing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm going to say in introduction, because I truly, truly, truly understand and I think properly value the importance of our Master's Club program. But I'll be honest with you, for about 3 months, it's awful nice just to get families together in on our Wednesday night service. I like the children being in here. I do. I like having a chance to preach to the young people. And the teenagers, honestly, we put a lot of them busy on Wednesday night. There's a lot of them that are serving in Master's Club. We couldn't run Master's Club if it wasn't for teenagers that were willing and wanting to serve in that capacity and just go do a great job. Talk to the leaders. These teenagers don't go down there and just goof around. They get in there and they work, and they're assigned jobs, and they're serving the Lord on Wednesday nights in the Master's Club. But again, it's just nice to have all of the young people, all the teenagers here. I was preparing another message on prayer, and the Lord interrupted that a couple days ago, started my heart in this direction. He gave me peace during the day this morning that this is what I ought to concentrate on preparing and preaching tonight. And I do really want to talk a little bit to the children and the teenagers. Those of you that still are at home, I want to talk to you a little bit about your relationship with your parents. Now, that means most of you that are old enough to sit up in here, you can sit up and listen to this. You need to sit up and listen to this. And pay special attention to the preacher tonight. I'm not going to spend the evening bawling you out. I'm not. I'm going to try to give you what the Bible says. I'm going to try to encourage you to do what the Bible says and to understand why it's important to do it. I want to do something that I feel like is being undone by society. And that is, I really am asking God to help me to strengthen the heart ties between the young people in our church tonight and their parents. Now, you turn on the TV set, and you're going to not watch very many programs where you're going to think that it's normal and cool to have a bad relationship with your parents. Let me say this, that philosophy's right out of the pit of hell. That was spawned by the devil on one of his worst days. It really was. And you may be made fun of. I mean, I've seen this growing up, and I've seen it since I've been grown up, where kids have been made fun of for having a good relationship with their mom and dad. That's nothing to be made fun of. That's something to be admired. And that's a rarity. That speaks highly of you, young person, if you have a good relationship with your parents. And so I want to strengthen that tonight. I want to protect that. I want to tell you what the Bible says. But young people, I really believe growing up, the most important relationship that you have outside of your relationship with the Lord, and the preparatory relationship of all relationships, is your relationship with your mom and dad. And if that's weak, and if you allow it to be weakened, I think what you're going to find is that you're going to struggle in a lot of other relationships later on. And so it's a training ground. It's important. And I want to talk to the young people, and I want you to give me a hearing. Some of you are just young. I mean, you're elementary age. Other of you are entered into your teen years. Some of you are in transition, honestly. I mean, you're in that time period where you are disengaging. God's leading you on. You're going to, in just the next few years, probably establish your own home. And let me just have all of your ear tonight, and let me be, I hope, a blessing to you. I want to give you some good sage advice to the young people here tonight. So let's look again at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 8. We are given in the first 7 verses the purpose of the writing of Proverbs, these introductory remarks telling us of the value of the instruction that's going to follow. And then we see, verse number 8, a very personal message from Solomon to his son. And he stops giving general instruction, and he speaks very specifically to his son. My son, what's the next word? Hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, let me say this to all our young people. Please listen very carefully to your preacher. One of the things that's going to determine whether or not you glean from the relationship with your parents the things you ought to glean is whether or not you learn the discipline of listening to mom and dad. Number one, learn the discipline of listening to mom and dad. You know, there's something special about the voice of your father and the voice of your mother. When I was in the hospital right after Laura and Kevin had gave birth to their baby, and we would go back into the nursery. They had to keep her for a little while. They go back into the nursery, and Kevin would walk in the nursery with me the first time he walked in. We got over there, and Kevin began to speak, and that baby immediately began to try to look and find that voice. I was watching when we have our new grand baby, and she's not old enough to know what's what or what's where, but all I know is when I'm holding her, when Mama comes in the room and says something, she immediately tries to find that voice. We were talking about this in the living room, how I believe that there's more that a young person hears than we probably are aware of while they're still being carried in the womb. And they get very familiar with Mama's voice. You know what? Maybe God just allows moms to have that time where the voice that they hear the most is her voice, and they become attuned to that voice. And you think about it, the mother is the primary caretaker, and a lot of times the primary in the fact that she is the keeper at home, and she is the one hands-on the front line in those early years, especially in the rearing of the children. And God just gives that connection between the voice of a mother and the ear of a child, that special connection. And you know what? I'm not sure that ever goes away. You know, I think that I could be in a room of hundreds of people, and if I heard the voice of my mom, I think I would know immediately that my mother was in that room. I think I would know it immediately. And I think God set all this up. And let me just say this, young people, is that's the first voice, that's the first strong connection that's made. But if we're not careful, all of us have the habit of doing this, is whatever we hear and whoever we hear the most, we tend to kind of begin to tune them out at some point. Preachers talk about this. They'll say, you know, man, I'll have preached on something, preached on something, preached on something, and then we'll bring a guest speaker in, he'll preach on it, and all the people will come up and say, wow, wasn't that great? Man, we never heard anything like that before. And, you know, you just know, man, that was tremendous. Man, I wish I'd have been preaching on that, you know. You really want to smack them in the head and say, go get the CDs. I've been telling you that for 6 months, you know. But honestly, folks, you can't take offense to that because it's, you know, it's the what we call the Charlie Brown syndrome, you know. Remember Charlie Brown in the cartoons when the teacher talked, it was blah, blah. But young people, let me say this. If you allow that to happen, that's a mistake. You see, you say, well, Brother Jerry, that's natural. Well, let's be supernatural. That's normal. Well, you know what? The world's normal. We're supposed to not be like the world. And that's why I talked about the discipline of listening to your mom and dad. Now listen to me. I mean this. I'm talking about fifth and sixth graders. Some of you kids that are getting on up, and you're getting big, and you're getting a little bit of your independence, and if you're not careful, you're going to start tuning out mom when she starts talking to you. You ought to do just the opposite. When mama's voice speaks, you need to purposely lay aside distractions. Purposely make sure that you turn and face her. Purposely listen. If you're ever going to listen to something that somebody's saying, then you ought to listen to what Mama says and you ought to listen to what Dad says. Now, you have to do it on purpose or it won't happen normally. It won't happen naturally because you do tend to get used to hearing their voice a lot. So you have to have the discipline to do that. But one of the things, and we won't go all the verses, but one of the things that's repeated over and over and over and over in the book of Proverbs is the encouragement for young people to hear and to listen to the voice of Mom and to the voice of Dad. And so do it on purpose. If you're doing something and Mama starts to talk or Daddy starts to talk, stop doing it and turn around and look at them and give them 100% of your attention. If you're watching something on TV and Mom starts saying something to you, you know what? You need to turn your head away from that or turn it off and go in and see what she wants. And that's a discipline, and it's something that if you'll do, it's going to protect you and help you. Notice what it says in these verses. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And it says, "For they shall be ornament, an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Now, if you want those advantages, if you want those decorations, if you want those things that you wear for protection, then you're going to have to work on purpose at hearing Mom and Dad and listening careful to what they say. Okay, did you get that? Very good. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 now, and I want to talk to you about something else. Proverbs chapter 10, and we're talking about a child's relationship with his parents. I want to strengthen that. I want you to listen to what the Bible says that will help you to make sure that you get everything that you're supposed to get out of that relationship. Number one, learn to listen well. Number two, I need to develop your understanding here. And young people, most of you sitting in here, if you'll think with me, you can begin to ask the Lord and you can gain understanding in some areas. And I want you to understand something here. Understand this. Understand that your parents' happiness is tied to your willingness to live wisely. Your parents' happiness is tied to your willingness to live wisely and to do what God would have you to do. Now notice, if you will, Proverbs 10, verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son. Notice this. There you have the son. You have the description of him. This is not a foolish son. This is not a disobedient son. This is not a scorner. This is not a rebellious son. This is a wise son. A wise son maketh, that word means produceth, maketh a glad father. But a foolish son, notice this, is the heaviness of his mother. So you have a coin, both sides of it. You say, you know what, if a child is wise and if you learn to behave wisely, every single time that your parents see you behave wisely, you know what? It brings a gladness, a happiness, a joy, a rejoicing. And all the words I just used are found in Proverbs in connection with this, to the hearts and souls of your mom and dad. Now, that's just a fact. Oh, Brother Jerry, I don't think it's that big a deal. Trust me, it is. I don't think my mom's like that. She is. I don't think my dad cares. He does. It affects him. Well, he doesn't say anything. Just because he doesn't say anything doesn't mean his heart's not broken. Just because Mom don't come to you every time and tell you doesn't mean she's not hurting. Now listen very carefully what I have to say here, young people. Your mom and dad, for all that they've sacrificed and all they've done for you, and your mother and what she's done in entering into the jaws of death and all she went through just to bring you into this world, you know what? Can I say this? Your mom and dad deserve a little happiness in this life. They deserve a little happiness in this life. And one of the major sources, one of the major things that's going to determine their level of happiness in life is whether or not you live wisely or whether or not you live foolishly. Now, how many parents have grown children that would say, Brother Jerry, that doesn't stop when they leave the house? Amen? I would say that. And all of us feel that way. Well, at what point do I get old enough where they're not going to be affected? Like the day after their funeral. No, honestly. And can I say this? The day after their funeral, you're going to be wishing that you'd spent more time making them glad. And I mean that. You know, I've never met a parent or a young person yet. I've never seen them at a funeral weeping over a casket saying, you know what, I'm so sorry that I was so good to my parents. I just feel terrible that I made them smile and brought such happiness to them. No, you never find that. You never find that. But you find a lot of young people that are absolutely, I mean, on the borderline of insanity with grief because they've known that they've brought their mom and their dad grief, and there's not a thing in the world they can do about it from that day forward. And so you need to understand there's a strong tie there. It's there. You say, well, I'm only five. It's there. I mean, tomorrow, you obey your mom, you do well, you live wisely, you live as a Christian ought to live, you be as a son ought to be and a daughter ought to be, and you know what? All through the day, you're going to give your mom and your father great happiness in their life. Tomorrow, you know what? You rant and rave and stomp and want your way and are belligerent and unkind. All day long, you are bringing your mom and your dad a heaviness of heart, a hurt that they're going to carry every time you have a behavior like that. Now, I want you to consider that. I want you to consider it. Stop and think about how much your mama does for you, how much your daddy sacrifices for you. And when you're tempted to be short with them, or when you're tempted to ignore them, or you're tempted to disobey them, I want you to remember this, because this is important. And these are your parents. These are your parents. And you know what? They're deserving of a little happiness in life. I'll bet if I talk to most kids, you're smart enough and old enough to have figured out that your mom and dad already have some heartaches in life. Don't you add to those. Don't you add to those. Let's read a few more verses, chapter number 17. Let's look there. You say, Brother Jerry, is this supported by more scripture? Oh, certainly. Matthew chapter number 17, if you'll look in verse number 21, Matthew 17 and verse number 21, says, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath, notice the next word, no joy. No joy. Man, that's amazing when you think about it. Look at verse number 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. And folks, listen to me. You can't talk these verses away. And they're not just true of a certain percentage of the population. These are set in stone. This is the way the Creator created us. And if you have a son or you have a daughter, Or if you're a son and a daughter and you're causing grief, if you're living unwisely, rebelliously, if you're being disobedient, I don't care whether you're 3 or 13 or 23. If you're that kind of a young person, you're causing your mom and your dad great heartache. And that's just not right. And you're causing them grief. Now look at chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23. And look, if you will, in verse number 25. We'll start reading verse 22 and go down to 25. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. By the truth sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bear thee shall rejoice. Now, listen, folks. Listen, I want you to listen to me. I'm 46 years old. I'll be 47 in August. You know what? If I wanted to, I could start in tonight. I could start in tomorrow morning. I could live pretty much, as long as I didn't break enough laws to get me thrown in jail, I could pretty much live any way I wanted to live. The power of my life and my decision is in my hand. But you know what? One of the reasons that I try to live a life that's right, number one, of course, it ought to be to please the Lord. But also, you know what? My mom and dad have enough heartache. They don't need me to be one. They don't need me to be one. They have enough burdens. They don't need me to be one. There ought to be a couple places they can look at their life and say with a smile, you know what? Jerry's doing all right. David's doing all right. Bobby's doing all right. Well, we won't talk about Lori. We, you know, 3 out of 4 is not bad, though. You know, that's pretty. Nah, Lori's doing all right. And honestly, I want you to get that. Now, that doesn't just happen when you're 46 and your folks are senior saints. Some of you were complaining because I made you senior saints the other night. It's going to be 55, Sister Sheila, until I turn 55. Then it's going to go back up to 60, all right? She said, wow, I was sitting there, I was fine, and all of a sudden you made me a senior saint. That wasn't right. That does seem terrible. I said, that's not right. I might have to pray about that again. How old are you? If I make it 56, would that be all right? All right. We're negotiating what a senior saint is here. No, that doesn't just happen when you're our age to a parent that's a senior saint. That's the mother of a 3-year-old. That's the mother of a 5-year-old. That's the mother of an 8-year-old. That's the mother of a 13-year-old and a father. And so take this to heart. Understand your parents' happiness is tied to your willingness to live wisely. This doesn't have anything to do with anybody in our church, or I wouldn't tell it. And I don't think anybody would know who it was. But, I don't know, sometime in the last year, I get my time frames confused. I sat in our meeting room back there with a brokenhearted set of parents and a daughter that was breaking their heart. And as soon as I asked them to come see me, I wanted to be a friend to them. I wanted to try to help them. And the parents came in and sat down, and the young lady came and sat down. And as soon as they sat down, the mom just broke and went to tears. And I let her cry. And I said, that's okay, you take your time. And I caught the girl's eye. And after her mom got back under control, I said, young lady, I want you to just listen to me, and you're going to decide what you're going to do. But I said, your mama's crying because you're breaking her heart. And I want you to decide that this is the last time she'll ever have to cry because you're breaking her heart. And you know what? That young lady began to cry. And I hope it is. She's done a ton better since then. I hope it is. Now, young people, listen to me. Don't you be the cause of your mama's tears. That's not fair. That's not right. Okay? That's not only unchristian, that's just indecent. That's indecent. And so I want you to take those things to heart, okay? Let's go on. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20. I want to talk to the young men for just a second because I think that this is specific. I think we could broaden it. I think the principle's sound, and I would certainly want you young ladies to listen, but I want to speak to the young men for just a minute. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 20. Notice this. We've already read this, I think. It says, a wise son maketh a glad father. Notice the last phrase, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Now, I understand that Solomon's writing to his son, and I'm certainly not limiting to this, but let me just say this. Number one, learn to listen well. Number two, understand your parents' happiness is tied to your willingness to live wisely. Number three, young men, be very careful, young men. Do not undervalue your mother. Do not undervalue your mother. And sometimes I'm a little worried, to be honest with you. I'm very burdened to talk about this because I think sometimes young men hear sound Bible preaching, but they misinterpret it. And sometimes, as of necessity, a preacher, when preaching on the family, or sometimes when preaching in a portion of Scripture that's dealing with ladies, we have to talk about the Bible chain of command. And I'm afraid sometimes that especially when a boy gets up junior high age, high school age, he hears that preaching. And somehow the devil takes what's preached properly and gets him thinking, you know what, dad's important and mom's secondary. Dad is up here and mom is down here, and somehow you ended up in the middle. I've heard mothers say, you know what, I could deal with my son up to a certain age and then he wouldn't listen to me anymore. That's wrong. Where'd that come from? And what this Bible verse is saying, the word despise there, as you've heard me explain many times, doesn't mean don't hate your mother. You say, well, I don't hate my mother, but do you properly value her? Now, I've made statements, and I stand by them. I really think, and I'm going to tell you, I have to preach this hard, but again, it's a two-edged sword. I've got to be careful. I've got to preach this hard because, folks, we are not doing a good job at instilling Christian manhood into our young men. And I've made statements like, you know, moms, you have to let men turn your boys into men. I believe that. And I don't apologize for that. But that does not make you unimportant in your son's life. I really believe this. You show me a well-balanced young man, and I'll show you a young man who learned from both his father and his mother. You know, a balanced young man has the toughness of a dad and the tenderness of a mother. And you know what? That's not a sign of being unmanly. It's not a sign of being unmanly. And so let me just say this. The Bible warns us as young men not to despise or undervalue our mother. I don't care if you are 16. Mama says something to you, it's yes, ma'am. That's what's pleasing to the Lord. Okay, and that's not a sign of some kind of a sign of that you're not masculine or some kind of a macho thing or you're weak because you listen to your mother. That's not right at all. Matter of fact, young men, it takes more strength to do the right thing. It takes more strength to not put a lady, and your mother is a lady, not put her in a situation where it becomes a battle of wills. You don't want to put her in those situations. You know, you don't prove your strength by running over your mother. You prove your weakness. Okay? So I think what Solomon was saying to his son here was, listen, you're going to be tempted as a young man to undervalue the importance of your mother as you get older. Yes, you need to be around the influence of men. Yes, you need to learn manliness from men. But your mother also is going to contribute some very important things into your character and into your makeup. Don't undervalue what she's trying to put into you. Does that make sense to you? Okay, very good. Very good. We'll go on now. All right? Now, let me give you something else. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. And verse number 12. So learn to listen well. And I hope that your parents see a big difference in that right away this week. Remember, that voice of a mother, that voice of a father, man, that ought to be like a trumpet sound to call you to full attention. Don't start zoning out on that or ignoring that. Learn to listen well. Understand your parents' happiness is tied to your willingness to live wisely. So make them happy. Young men, don't undervalue your mother. Let me give you this also. Number 4, do not misinterpret discipline. Now I'm talking to all children, and I'm talking about both parents now. So let's get back, okay? I'm talking to young ladies, I'm talking to young men, I'm talking to the relationship with both your mother and your father. Do not, be very careful that you do not misinterpret discipline. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 11 says this, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Then God uses a parallel here in verse 12 to help us have an understanding of what he's saying. "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Now what the Bible's saying here is this. A father who delights in his son, a parent who delights in their children, you know what? If they delight in you, then they will correct you. And they have to correct you. You know that if your parents, now sometimes as kids, you know, you think what a wonderful, glorious utopia it would be if I lived in a home where I was allowed to do whatever I wanted to, whenever I wanted to, and I didn't have any rules. But you know what? What you ought to do is go find some kids that live in those homes. Those are the kind of kids that always wanted to come over to our house when we were kids. And my mom would line them out and make them behave like us. And you know what? I'd think that they were out of their minds. Number one, why would you stay there when you could go home and do what you wanted to? And number two, when she's getting on you, why are you smiling? And you know what I figured out? I figured out that, you know what? That was them. Listen, there's no better way for your mom and dad to say, "I love you," than to correct you when you needed correction. Now, Brother Jerry, that seems like a stretch. Well, we're going to stretch you right over into the Scriptures and show you that that's true. When your mom and dad correct you, whether it's verbally or whether it's with a punishment or a spanking, that is the loudest I love you they can give you while you're growing up. Now, what the devil wants to do is have you misinterpret discipline. When you do something wrong and your mom and dad get on you, or they discipline you in some way, as soon as you get away from them, the devil's going to sit on your shoulder and start saying, you know what, your dad just hates you, your mom just hates you. You know what, they don't love you, they don't care about you, they don't care what you feel. I mean, it's amazing what the devil will tell us in our ear and convince us that we're the ones thinking of it. Now, what I'm telling you is this. Let's see what the Bible says. The Bible always tells us the truth. So the Bible says, listen, the Lord, even God in heaven, loves us enough to correct us, and we're not to despise the chastening of the Lord. Be careful that you don't start despising or, again, undervaluing what's happening in your life when your parents are correcting you. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So God says this. Listen, I correct you because I love you. God's trying to get you to understand is that what they're doing, trust me, is not easy for them. It is hard for them. They'd rather not do it, but they care more about how you turn out in 10 years than how you feel about them in the next 10 minutes. And that's love. That's love. It is. They're trying to watch out for you in the long run. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13, if you will. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. And young people, I want you to hear this. Listen very carefully to this. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And that means early. That means early on. As Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud, amen. It means early, parents, as far as early in their formation, in their formative years. But also it means early in the process of their disobedience, no matter what age it is. You know, I'm going to count to 10. Some of you have counted to 10 so many times. You've launched so many spaceships. Yeah, you've done everything but correct your children. Now stop that nonsense. And don't let this thing develop as a habit in their life and then decide now I've got to fight a war over it when you could have won it with a simple small battle. And so early. Okay, I stopped and talked to the parents there for a minute. But what I want to say to the kids is this. Again, the devil's going to try to make hay out of this. Here you've got parents that love their kids enough that no matter what society says, and by the way, it doesn't matter what society says. They can pass every law they want to pass. It does not negate what Proverbs teaches us about child rearing. And Christian parents need to obey the Bible. Okay? I got my share of whoopings. Probably needed more than I got growing up. And you know what? My dad did it because he loved me. My mom paddled me sometimes because she loved me. It wasn't abuse, and spanking a child is not abuse. According to the Bible, not spanking them is abuse. Letting them grow up and be a heathen's abuse. Letting them grow up and think there's no consequences to disobedience, that's child abuse. Okay? Now, what I'm saying is this, young people, you know what? I promise you, there wasn't one time after I got whooped, especially in the next few minutes, that I felt like going up and shaking my dad's hand and say, thank you, Dad. I know you loved me. That's all it was, just love. Man, I could feel the love. Man, could I feel the love. When my dad got done, I could feel the love several hours afterwards, you know. No, and you know what? I'm not going to be so silly as to expect you to have a praise fit 2 or 3 minutes after you get a whooping. But I hope that after things settle down, are you listening to me? I'm hoping that after things settle down and you get over your self-pity party that all of us kids threw every time we had a spanking, that there's a still small voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you that says to you, you know what? Your daddy was right. And your mama was right. And they did it because they love you. And don't get bitter at them. And you know what? Love them. Be glad that you've got parents. Listen, I can take you. You want to find out? Go with JR. No, honestly. Go with him over the jail ministry. Sit down and talk to a bunch of kids who, you know what? Every time they did wrong, there was no consequences. Talk to them. Get by with everything. And when they did do wrong and got in trouble fighting authority outside of the home, mom and dad ran to their defense. Go talk to them. And the honest truth is, you're lucky. You're blessed if you have a mom and dad that says, now listen, here's the rules. If you stay within the boundaries of those, we're not only going to not punish you, but we're going to reward you, we're going to bless you, we're going to encourage you. But if you step outside of them, there are consequences. This is preparing you for real life. And if you understand that. So young people, be careful. Don't misinterpret discipline. I think when I was 8 years old, I looked at the kid down the road that had no discipline, and I thought he was the luckiest kid in the world. By the time I was 18 years old, are you listening? And I was on my way to Bible college, and that young man had already buried in a cemetery because of his rebellion and because he didn't know what the word no meant. I was kind of glad I had parents that kept me in line. All right, so just take that to heart, okay? Now, in closing, let me have you quickly. We're just going to go through and look at 4 verses, and then I'm going to wrap this up. We'll just do it in timely fashion. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26. Proverbs 19, verse 26. I want to just warn you of 4 sins, and we'll read them, and then we'll group them. We'll pray, and have an invitation. We'll head on home. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 26. I want to talk to you about 4 sins that you're going to be very careful of, that if you're not careful, you'll sin against your parents. You'll do as sins against your parents. Proverbs 19 and verse number 26 says this: he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. I want you to listen very carefully. Every one of you listen very carefully. It is not right at any age to break relationship with your parents. The devil wants to destroy the son, parent, daughter, parent relationship. I've talked, now I'm going to say this, and I don't know who does what and where you are, and don't you get mad at me. You just need to read the Bible and figure this out. But I've had people tell me, I haven't talked to my mom in 20 years. You chased her away. I haven't talked to my father in 20 years. Well, you're wasting him. You wasted 20 years. Yeah, but Jerry, you don't know the whole story. I know the Bible. Now, I know that there's extraordinary situations. I really do. I know that. But you know what? I don't believe that there's a thing that exists where you should not try to secure that relationship as best you can and make it as right as you can. And there's too many kids that are growing up. And I understand. Hey, listen. Therefore shall a son leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. I understand the leaving and cleaving. But this isn't talking about leaving and cleaving. This is talking about chasing away and wasting. And listen, you always work at maintaining and keeping strong the relationship between you and your parents. While you got them, you better do it. Does that make sense? Proverbs 28, verse 24. Proverbs 28, verse 24. I hope that God puts that in the back of your mind. And one of these days you're careful and cautious about that. Proverbs 28, verse number 24. Here's another thing. Be careful. Proverbs 28, verse 24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. Jesus dealt with this even amongst the Pharisees. When it's talking about robbing them, it doesn't mean, although we have these cases, God help this society, where kids are stealing from their parents. Kids are breaking into their own home and stealing stuff and then claiming somebody else broke in. Kids are stealing money out of their parents' wallet, stealing things from their parents' garage. You know, we live in a crazy society. But it's not talking about that. It's talking about what Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. It's talking about not caring for them in their old age. You know what? If you do not care for your parents in their old age, then you know what? You are robbing them of what is rightfully theirs. That's a fact of life. That's a fact of life. You know what? I don't care what your parents' financial situation is. I don't care how much wisdom they did or didn't use during their working and saving years. I'm saying that sons and daughters that are right with God make sure that they're taken care of. Okay, are you listening to me? Get that in your heart. Be careful about that. Proverbs 20:20. This is mentioned twice, so I'm going to read it twice. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, and then we'll go back to Proverbs chapter 30. But first, Proverbs 20, verse 20. Notice this. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, and this is an amazing verse. I want you to get this. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Wow. His lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Go to chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30, and verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 11. Here it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Now, I think that what this is talking about is both literally and figuratively. And unfortunately, I've certainly heard it. I've heard it with my own ears. Heard it with my own ears. Young people curse their mom and dad. You have no idea how dangerous, what thin ice you're walking on. Well, they didn't hear me. Well, God heard you. I don't care if you do it to them or away from them. God hears it. And that's serious business. That's serious business. You show respect to mom. You show respect to dad. I don't care if you don't understand them or don't agree with them all the time. You don't curse them. And that's a wicked thing. It's amazing what society has sunk to. The fourth one is found in verse 17 of the same chapter, Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Isn't it amazing? The warnings that are reserved for this sin and these sins, you know, their light being put out in obscure darkness. God saying, hey, you go ahead and mock your mother and despise to obey your mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out. The eye that does this, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. And notice this, young people, it didn't even say here the mouth. It says the eye. Have you ever seen a young person mock their parents with their eyes? Well, I didn't say anything to them. No, but you roll your eyes at your mom. Roll your eyes at your dad. And by the way, it's about time we start calling sin, sin. That's a wicked sin before God. Shame on you. What you're doing, you're putting yourself in God's crosshairs. Now, I mean this. For a minute, I'm separating myself out. So every once in a while, a preacher needs to stand up and be a prophet. I'm telling you, you keep that nonsense up, and I'm going to be doing your funeral. You think you can keep mocking your mother and cursing your father, and you think you're going to get away with that nonsense? Not according to my Bible. Now, you better be careful. There's some things God has a very low tolerance about. And by the way, society used to have a low tolerance for that. Now it's become almost popular. So what I want to do, young people, is to take you to the book of Proverbs and tell you that your relationship with your parents is so important. And don't let the devil, don't let Hollywood, don't let a bunch of carnal friends or a worldly example somewhere make you begin to believe that it's cool to treat your mom and dad with anything but the utmost respect. And you honor your mom, and you honor your father, and obey them as the Bible commands you to obey them. Let me tell you something. You're going to live a blessed life. You're going to live a blessed life. God will notice that also, and he will bless you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Young people, put these in your heart. Get them solid in your heart before we leave here. I want you to work on listening well. I want you to understand. It's time that your understanding was developed. You need to understand what you're doing to your parents when you live unwisely. You young men, I want you to go out of your way to express to your mother how much she means to you, how important she is to you, and make her feel appreciated and important. Listen, don't misinterpret discipline. There may be a young person right here. You know what? Either today or within the last few days, your parents have had to sternly discipline you, and you are holding bitterness in your heart against them even yet. Don't do that. Don't misinterpret that. That was an I love you. You need to learn from it, and you need to work on being a better son and a better daughter, or a better daughter. And be careful about these four sins of the temptation to break a relationship, to rob your parents, literally or in the future. Be careful about cursing your mother, your father, mocking. I don't care what the rest of the pagan world does. You make sure of these things and secure them in your heart. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll take these Bible principles and help us, Lord. Help the families. Lord, sweeten a relationship that maybe's been a little damaged. Push Satan out of the way and get him out of a situation that he's trying to get a foothold in. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help young people to be wise and to take these Bible principles and learn from them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.